I am.
Oh my God, I have so many pieces.
Oh, good. Yeah. Bodily functions is a fine area. Good. All right, yeah, my levels look good.
Bridget,
bodily
functions. I'll talk about anything.
It's funny because you mentioned it, and I was like, this is embarrassing because now it's only embarrassing because now I'm going to tell it out loud.
That means it's embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Buddy,
but
okay.
Like no one knows about it, so like.
Oh, if it's in the safety of your mind, it's not bad. But
yeah, no.
Oh right, no one knows to this day. So you're debating whether to make it real.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't real. But yeah, we. All right. Let's get started. Hey guys, welcome to Rough Stuff, a podcast where we will be digging up all the embarrassing stories from adolescence and puberty and the awkward years and all the good stuff. I am your host, Bridget Greenberg, and I sucked my thumb until age 11, as I think I might have talked about in a different podcast.
I'm your co-host, Sarah Griffith, and in its heyday, I wrote Office fan fiction for the NBC sitcom The Office, and I published one of them online, and it actually got a lot of kudos, so joke's on y'all.
Did you ship anybody besides Jim and
Dwight
Pam?
Dwight and Angela was my jam, D'Angela. Wait, did I? Yeah, I said Dwight and Angela, yeah. D'Angela. God, that was my everything.
Yeah, and with us is our guest and founder of this network, Small Beans, Michael Swaim.
Howdy. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yeah.
We played D&D for 8 hours yesterday, so I'm a little raspy. I'm a little Tom Waitsy.
Yeah.
and that's not what embarrasses me. What embarrasses me is when I was in, let's say, from 8th grade to 11th grade, I wore no less than 3 times a week a giant shapeless sweatshirt that said, so many books, so little time.
Oh!
And I'll double down and say, at that same time, I was, now picture, because it's a double whammy, I was the worst performing person in the chess club, which I had filled out the paperwork to bring to our school.
Oh, no.
So that was pretty rough.
Oh, wow.
It was a rough time.
Wow, that is, that. I just feel bad for you, actually. That just is kind of.
Yeah. I was classic nerd. OG nerd, yeah.
Yeah, that is.
You've got some fan fiction under your belt. We don't have to get into it, but like.
I do. My girlfriend and I were just talking last night about our favorite Office couple, too. I think we got to go Michael and Holly. Molly?
Oh, Michael and Holly.
Yeah,
oh,
or Heichel. Yeah.
My OGP.
Yeah,
what?
When
Molly, I don't know what it
they're
Molly,
great. Yeah. But you like wanted that they fit together so perfectly.
So
like
perfect.
after watching Michael just flounder for so long.
Well, after
so,
like yeah, 6 years, when Holly comes in, you're like, if you know anything about structure, you're like, she's the one he'll end up with. Yeah,
totally.
And it is a triumph of casting. You're like, that's the
Amy
perfect
Ryan
person.
Amy Ryan is like every. You know, we always say like characters on The Office, and like I. Like I really am Holly, because forever all my friends would say like I was Michael, and then Holly came into the picture and they're like, no, you are Holly. Like that is female Michael. That is you doing the Yoda impression while fixing your lumbar support on your chair. Like that's me. That's my brand.
Yeah. Wait, I need the Dwight and Angela fan fiction.
I kind of started with a bomb. I'm sorry. I should have warned you two about this. It was when they broke up in season 3. I'll never forget the day because it's in my diary, which I've kept since 2004. It's a very extensive. We'll probably read some entries from it, I'm sure. But it was season 3, traveling salesman. He had just quit. Because he was like covering for Angela, if you're familiar with the show. And if not, stop
listening.
This
is just an Office podcast
it's
now.
It's an Office pod. And I did listen to Office podcasts at the time. Oh, I was deep into the fandom. And so like I wrote fan fiction in between the weeks of Traveling Salesman and The Return, which is when he comes back, thank God. And I wrote like angsty, like Angela POV fan. This is also when I started to act. So I think I like...
You're writing like a play for yourself.
Yeah, I validated by saying it was really like a character study, but it was like fan fiction about like Angela's thoughts, and it was like pretty angsty. And I put it up on like, I think fanfiction.net, and I had a live journal at the time too. And damn it though, it got a lot of response. Like a lot of people really liked it. And I mean, I stand embarrassed by it, but I stand by it, damn it.
So quick plug, go check out Sarah's fanfiction on fanfic.net.
Good luck finding that. I have buried that.
So it was non-sexual.
No, Jesus Christ. I didn't even know fanfiction could be dirty until I was like,
I guess that's
way
called slash fiction. I don't understand.
Well, it's like smut Because slash is when it's like specifically homosexual characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I can tell you about this quick.
Because I know there is an Agents of Crack slash fic. That's
yes.
Pretty awesome.
So there's
there's some after
where I blow
ones.
Dan. Yeah. It's nice. Ooh. Yeah.
Jesus. But it's called slash because you write the characters that are fucking with a slash in the middle. In
okay.
And it actually started with Kirk and Spock fan fiction in the 60s in Star Trek. Yeah. And so you would know, like, hey, fellas, they're about to boink in this one because you'd put the slash between their names.
Ah,
so that is the origin of slash.
Oh.
Well.
Check me out, my fan fiction podcast.
As a creative person, I definitely have always been making things, writing, and I drew a lot more than I do now growing up. But as I think we mentioned off mic in between the two podcast sessions, like, as a boy, there is a period where everything is filtered through how goddamn horny you are all the time. That's like uncontrollable.
Right. Yeah.
So my equivalent of that is drawing characters from The Office fucking in a notebook no one has ever seen. And like many other shows. Yeah. Like those sights you see.
Sorry, that is lot you just said.
I've got Futurama characters fucking. I've got everything. Yeah.
I've seen those ads on Pornhub. Are you the artist that does those?
No, nothing's ever made it out. I don't think anyone's ever seen those drawings.
Yeah, those
but it's
are,
like,
yeah, you put that in a drawer and lock it away.
You still have them,
sit
though.
Alone
you haven't.
I probably don't.
Yeah,
yeah, I would have burned those.
Sit alone at like 11:30 at night, feverishly drawing like a nasty cartoon orgy.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand. There was no, I had no access to internet porn
right.
still. Yeah. I would like a scant year later, and guess what? I stopped with all that nonsense.
Oh,
internet
yeah.
Oh,
porn
you
forever.
Just missed it, yeah.
But like right before that, you really had to fabricate a world of fantasy
right.
to like get that done. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've actually done some dumb, trivial research on like early days of fandom because I just think that's so interesting and how they had zines and all this other stuff. And I mean, like, that's like one of the things they would do. It'd be like, oh, we're going to write essays about Star Wars. And then here's Luke Skywalker sucking off Han Solo. Yeah. Like, oh, Jesus, people. Bill Gates, you needed to hurry up on this. Like, all of it. Like,
what's
please.
Funny is when you're 15, you'll sit down with your mind blank and be like watching short-lived PBS children's show Read Between the Lines.
Oh my god, I know that show.
That's a great show.
It's so good.
And you'll absent-mindedly draw Spock sucking off Kirk, and then you look at it and be like, why did I do this? I'm changing inside. What's like, what is awakening within
there's
me?
There's something dark in here.
It's literally super bad where he's like drawing dicks. He just can't stop
drawing
dicks.
It is. I went through that period because I drew and then everything became sexualized. And then it's like, I don't know, for me at least, it was a huge relief when it tapered off and you're like, oh, I'm an adult. Like it does become optional
to be
overwhelmingly obsessed with sex.
Yeah, we can dive into like toxic masculinity.
I'm
but
trying
I also,
to embarrass myself hard
but,
for you guys.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
sorry.
But I also feel like part of the reason boys aren't artistic is because it just becomes dicks. And then you're like, I need to put this away.
It's
like, I don't want to revisit that anymore.
I do think there can be a late bloomer aspect or a wasted time aspect where dudes spend like a good 6.5 years being like, what? I'm just overwhelmed by hormones.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know girls have that, an analog of hormonal like tides where it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the sex part I think comes last for girls. And so when that finally comes, it's like, oh my God. Like, wait.
You're kind of more
second.
Equipped to be like, this is a nice addition to my life where I feel like, especially in American culture, puberty for me, where I started having quote unquote like weird feelings, hit as early as like 11 years old. And our culture in America is not equipped.
No.
I didn't know what the hell was going on.
No, for boys, it starts young. Like, that's what I've always been told, that like for guys, it's like been happening behind closed doors and you just never know.
And unless you're super progressive parents, you don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Right.
I just remembered a really embarrassing nugget I got to drop is climbing up the bunk bed, like to the top bunk, and my brother not in the room, I will say.
Yeah.
Like sliding down, realizing I feel weird, like with my crotch rubbing against the edge of the thing.
Yeah.
Rubbing back and forth a couple times, something happening, and immediately running to mom, crying, going like, I think I like did something really bad to my penis. It feels weird.
Oh,
it feels bad. We gotta go to the doctor.
That's almost sweet.
Yeah.
I think a lot of men who are listening, or people with penises who are listening to this story, just said, oh, I did the same thing. So if it
I'm
gives
sure.
you any comfort, I mean, I didn't, but I'm sure that's.
Oh, well, aren't you just.
I know. But then female, but no one teaches you how to masturbate as a female, so that's a whole thing that's like, well, I guess I.
And it's not as obvious.
No, it's not obvious. Even now, like, guys, I'll try to explain that, like, oh, yeah, and girls have to figure out how to masturbate, and the guys are like, don't you just rub? It's like, no, listen, there's, like, so much more happening. Anyway, yeah, now that we've gotten that, you want to start the circle jerk now, or do you want to wait until after we're done?
Again?
Let's,
I need more time to recharge.
A Gatorade?
Let's move on, and,
please.
Jesus.
Let's move on, and, I mean, you've already kind of given us in detail a little bit of what young Michael was like, but if there's anything you want to elucidate further than us, then you're just horniness.
Well, that was a very specific period, and it's actually out of character for me, only insofar
as... Yeah, no, that's just
that's
boy
what's
stuff.
So interesting to me is that I was like, honestly, as an adult, having been an adult for a decade and a half at least, and comparing notes with many other men, I'm kind of on the low end for like sex drive. So I only bring it up to say, like, it is crazy how there's this period in adolescence where you're like, God, I cannot stop thinking about girls.
No,
why?
It is crazy. And then, like,
looking, guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have a lot of guy friends, so I've heard, like, some horrible stories.
Right.
And
I was a very good kid, never did anything creepy as a result, I have to say.
Yeah, but then also, like, now looking back on, like, how culture caters to that of, like, I'll look at music videos that were on, like, TRL while I was growing up and being like, she was 12 at the time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Crazy,
Specifically, I'm thinking of the short-lived pop star JoJo.
Yes.
I remember her.
Yeah. So if
Get Out. I think she was, like, 13.
She was, like, 12 or 13. And if you look up that music video, one, who at 13 are you, like, saying, like, get out, leave right now. It's
mom out of my room.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's it.
But also, just, like, if you watch it, it's uncomfortable. Comfortable knowing she's that young. And
even Lil Bow Wow had songs when he was way too young that are like, girl, oh God, I'll lay you down. I'm like, no, Lil Bow Wow.
Well, the obvious one is Aaliyah and like her alleged marriage to R. Kelly, and he wrote that song, AJ, Nothing But a Number. Like, please step away from Aaliyah.
So anyway, I was doing donuts in the parking lot, blasting all that stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Super cool kid.
As I said, I was a classic nerd. We founded... Or, like, I did a lot of club founding because I went to small...
Good for you.
I went to small schools and
I'm a bully and I was, like, fucking nerd.
Exactly. There were, like, nerdy things I wanted to do we didn't have.
Yeah.
So that tells you a lot about me. It's, like, I'm a nerd, but also I was raised by parents who I think overly gave me too much self-esteem, which is backfiring majorly in my adulthood, but a whole generation is grappling with that. But like, so I was super ambitious and didn't realize, like, I should have been bullied, but I wasn't. I think I also lucked out. My parents were very good about getting us into, like, small, rural, good schools. Where they just, everyone happened to be nice. And so I felt that I felt very popular.
Yeah.
And never felt bullied, but I was overweight, like, read books every day at lunch, founded the improv club and the chess club.
Yeah.
So, like, I should have been bullied. I don't know what happened. I just lucked out.
Yeah.
Did you play Magic the Gathering?
Yes. And I was very upset when, first of all, in my elementary school, they banned it because if people are familiar with the Water Spirit card, the picture is a sideways water spirit, someone out there will know, with his hand sticking out. And the way it's drawn, it looks like his hand is an erect penis, like rigidly straight out from his body. And they saw that and they immediately banned it and everyone had to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Instead.
I was going to say you had to default to Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yu-Gi-Oh's so fucking basic. Magic is the chess of card games.
Magic is the chess of card games.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the tiddlywinks of card games. It was very upsetting to me when that change took
place. Where does Pokemon, does that even rank?
It's in somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about Pokemon.
Okay.
But, well, I'm just talking strategically.
Oh,
it's a whole different podcast.
Yeah,
but this is illuminating. I'm also a super game nerd.
Right.
I'm a nerd in every possible category. So, yeah, I was sitting playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And being like, do you not understand how this is less strategically deep? And, like, breaking out my calculator and being like, there are 162 factorial possible combinations of cards. Magic has, like, 800 to the... times 10 to the fourth power iterations
Jesus,
of possible cars.
I can see you. Like, I'm picturing you, like, sitting on a sidewalk waiting for school to start or end and, like, having, like, your whole squad and then someone coming up and you having to school them or something. Like,
oh, yeah.
I totally know those people.
Biggest fight I ever had with my little brother was I moved to the dorm for freshman year of college and he immediately sold my entire Magic the Gathering collection on eBay.
In college when you were still mad.
And that's the point I'm making is I was like, he's like, well, you're like a man now. I thought you wouldn't want them. And I was like, I did.
Okay.
I wanted them forever.
I wanted them all.
Okay. Clearly I'm on your team because I am absolutely appalled. Like I feel that for you.
Hell yeah.
Oh, because I think like if my mom were to call me up and be like, I sold your Beanie Baby collection, I would break. I would lose
you
it.
You still have those suckers?
Absolutely.
Nice. They're going to pay out one day.
No, they're not. No. They are my children, and I will be buried with them.
You wrote out like the flat line, the rise, the crazy rise, the bubble bursting.
Those
like,
are my kids.
I'm still holding on to them.
Oh, yeah. It's not an economic
it's not about
thing.
Money.
It's emotional.
I love them. Yeah.
Like Cleopatra or every other Egyptian, you know, pharaoh put in a pyramid. Thank you. Okay. They will bury me with my cats and like everything.
Like
they will.
Where is she going?
They will like take out my hearts and organs because you know they buried him with pets and stuff to send to the next. That's my Beanie Babies
Beanie
will be
Babies.
There, and I'll like die with my arms crossed and my lightsaber like ceremoniously like sticking out, like you
just
know,
just Han Solo in the freezer with all your Beanie
exactly,
Babies
and like Beanie
freeze.
Babies, and then like close the tomb.
Which one gets the prize position, like tucked in your
probably
mouth
my first
or
one
on your heart?
My first one is a little black and white cat named Snip.
Snip. Do you name it, or do you use the Beanie Baby?
No, that I did use the Beanie Baby names for a while when I was younger and didn't know any better. But then, as my mind grew and I became more creative, I took liberties with them. So, but the first few are like pretty much the Beanie Baby names.
Yeah. I feel like with like Magic the Gathering and like nerd culture like that, I feel like when you're a kid, you're pretty. If that's what you're into, you end up not getting made fun of because like you're so isolated in that culture and the other people that are into it that you don't even like.
That's
care.
True. Like at recess at our school, there would just be a section over there of people playing Magic, and the people who wanted to not be nerds would just be in a totally different area.
They're
ignoring
playing football.
Us.
No, that's because like I have no experience. And then recently I walked into like a game shop and saw like people playing with like. Also, and like people who had built like the figurines.
That's what's funny is how everything's relative because I played Magic and D&D and did improv. And then I would walk into a game shop for a Magic tournament and I would see this thing, Warhammer.
Yeah, Warhammer.
Where
they
actually spend nights and weekends like assembling and painting tiny figures.
Oh, yeah.
And they use measuring tape to measure ballistics shit. And I go like, look at these fucking nerds.
Right.
Wasting their goddamn lives. I will trade you a Chaos Orb for 3 Aatrox.
Right. Because like, I had a lot of shame as a kid where, like, I was definitely a nerd and that was in me, but I was, like, outside with everybody else, like, I bet I could get, like, in my head, I was like, I bet I could be really good at that. Or, like, I bet I can get into, and just, like, never allowing myself to.
Did you have
like,
the interest? Were you, like,
I don't think with Magic, but I think with like the more creative stuff, like I remember wanting to do plays and being like, no, not for you, Bridget.
Couldn't get over how it feels dumb, but like you wanted to.
Right. Yeah. What I wanted to. And it's probably for the best because I am not a good actor. So it's probably we saved my parents from that. And instead they went to my basketball games, which had to be worse, probably worse watching girls basketball.
I have an embarrassment I have to reveal because you just made me remember for the first time in many years.
Yes.
Is they were going to cut our drama program at our high school. And this aspect, obviously, I'm proud of.
Yeah.
I gave a speech in front of the town council that, and who knows what the factors were, but they were going
to
cut it. I gave the speech and they didn't cut the program.
You Kevin Bacon'd and Footloose.
And after
that's my favorite episode of Glee.
And then my senior year, like I got every role I goddamn wanted. Cause it was funny. Yeah. Like in retrospect, I realized literally the teacher treated me like, well, I owe you my job. And she gave me whatever she said, what play do you want us to do for your last play in high school? I was like, I want to play Prospero in the Tempest. And she's like, okay, everyone has to do that.
Wow.
Deep cut.
Wow.
That's a big role for yourself.
I'm a hipster nerd.
Yeah.
We're like, I'm not going to pick your top level Shakespeare.
Oh, I'm not going to be Benedict and Much Ado.
No, I'm going to pick a Titus Andronicus and make it good somehow.
Right.
You're not going to
make it good somehow.
Yeah, you're not gonna be like Romeo and like be cool and get to kiss. No. You're gonna like go for the deep.
Yeah. You're the other guy.
But I straight up came out, Benvolio, came out in an amorphous like amoeba white elastic ball with like pictures of crying people projected on me for part of the speech.
Amazing.
So it was like a pretty lame like performance art thing, and it worked somehow. Yeah. I feel like they were like, well, these kids need a drama class. Look, they suck. Like, we need to.
They need to teach.
They can't lose this.
Yeah. We can't let this guy just be out there, not in the protection of theater club. Like, but yeah, let's get into it. You have some. You've shared a lot with us,
and thank you. That's very brave of you.
I tried to delay the topic of the day as long as possible.
Yeah, but we're here for a reason, and let's get into. Let's get into the good stuff, your real story that you came here for.
Speaking of R. Kelly.
No.
I'm going to tell the story of three of the times I wet my pants. And I don't mean wet my bed, like wet my pants publicly.
Nice.
And there may have been more times than that because there was a period where I just didn't know how to not wet my pants if I laugh too much. But there's three where I remember all the ins and outs and exactly what happened.
Oh, no.
So two of them take place on an island.
Oh my God.
It was like Lost.
Yeah. You need to remember a series of numbers. This is going to be important later.
Yeah. Okay.
Number one, that signifies urine. Okay. So, Catalina Island. You guys know Catalina Island?
Yes, yeah, Catalina.
A lot of schools in Southern California will take a field trip or a summer trip to Catalina Island with the kids. You follow goats around. You get to poke.
You follow goats around.
You do. Poke sea cucumbers. Learn about biology. Take classes. Live in
tents.
And
that's loose. Learn about biology.
Yes, exactly. It's like a little adventure camp, summer camp thing.
Poking sea cucumbers is gross.
It's true.
It's so gross.
It's surprisingly gross.
I've never done it.
And fascinating and actually something you should do because it makes...
No, I'm dying to now.
It makes you question life. Because I would say...
It freaked me out.
Because you can actually... Some species are like a sentient goo. Like you can stick your finger so far in them that it comes out the other side and you're wiggling your finger.
Yeah, it's...
And they're alive and that doesn't hurt them. And I didn't know things could do that.
And like, that's like... Cool.
They just drop their intestines.
What?
Right. They just like... sploosh around your finger and reform.
Oh my God.
And you're like, I didn't know the animals could do that.
Dude, next time you see me, Bridget, I'm going to have like a terrarium, like just an aquarium like, of like sea cucumbers in my apartment.
Just sea cucumbers
like,
on
them.
All 10 fingers just walking around.
And like sea stars, they eat by like spitting their entire stomach and intestines
out. I've seen that on YouTube.
And that digests stuff and then they suck it back
in. I hate it so
much. Honestly, every animal that lives in the ocean is like an alien that fell to Earth and like just lives there now. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the deep sea is a nightmare. So anyway, we were studying the deep sea and developing a healthy fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And my best friend, who is guilty for both of these instances, which occurred within 12 hours of each other.
He made you pee your pants.
And the other embarrassing fact is that when I like, it's one of those, several of them are these inexplicable things where when I explain what happened, people still won't understand.
Okay.
He just, I was touching the sea cucumber because it was my turn, and he elbowed me, and he's like, huh? Gross, huh? Huh? It's pretty gross, huh? And it was so funny to me that I laughed so hard that I immediately just flooded my pants with urine.
Oh, no.
And the embarrassing part, I guess that's the embarrassing part, but the excruciating part is this took place on the shore, like in a outdoor work group, right? With like a biologist that Catalina had provided and our teacher. And the way the teacher dealt with it was to say, everything pause. Michael, it's okay.
Oh, no.
Everyone's going to wait for you. Walk to the ocean, walk in the water till you're up to your waist, and then walk back. So I did a literal, like, 30-yard walk of shame with kids, like, laughing and her being like, don't laugh,
How old were you? Sorry.
9, I think.
Oh, that's teachers need to be trained for that.
And I like walked up and like splashed my crotch and she's like, just walking up to your waist, honey. So I like had to walk into the freezing ocean to let it wash the
urine
away.
Were you wearing a bathing suit?
No, I was wearing pants.
Were they khakis or jeans? This is
khakis.
Oh, that's the worst thing to pee yourself in.
Yeah.
But also
they were like those thick khakis for hiking in.
Yeah.
I am baffled by that solution by your teacher. Because
I was thinking, well, at least you're by the beach, so I would have fallen into the water and then just be like, oh, I'm wet all over.
It is, I guess, in a panic. It's because the thing is, you needed to like take an ATV for 10 minutes back to camp to have running like faucet. So that, I guess she just made like, a battlefield call.
Yeah, that was a panic decision. I would call it a panic.
And somewhere that teacher is telling that story at a bar and all their friends are going, oh, and she's going, I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, so to make it even funnier / more embarrassing, that night in the tent, same friend, best friend, we buddied up in the tent. We were doing shadow puppets on the wall.
Oh my God.
And he did the classic shadow puppet that's a bird.
Yeah.
And by the way, I had just been complaining about how I only had one pair of pants left now. And I was going to have to wear my PJ pants to like the thing in the morning and I was going to be cold.
Yeah. And later, that would be your brand.
He did a shadow puppet. I'm wearing them now. He did a shadow puppet of a bird singing, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
So very many soulful. R. Kelly.
Yeah, R. Kelly.
I know. And it fucking got me again. And I didn't want to give him the satisfaction. So what he heard is, I like laughed. And then I became grimly silent and turned the flashlight off. And I was like, I'm sleepy. I'm going to sleep.
We're no longer friends.
Like, I got you again, didn't
I? Oh my God.
That power that you just gave that friend for like a 9-year-old.
It's true.
Like, he can hold that over your head for...
Well, so then the third time that the same friend made me wet my pants in public.
Oh my God, you need to stop hanging out with this guy.
He's got the hat trick, man. Yeah. I still know this friend and I can withstand his onslaughts. Now, that's what I actually think is more embarrassing as someone who grew into a comedy writer. These are not good jokes. They're structurally weak. And the crown jewel of bullshit is we were over at... my friend Alex's house, our mutual friend, and I think it's important for the setting to note that Alex's parents were the richest parents in our friend group, and their house was like a catalog. They had maids, and they were very, like, Frasier-y and high class.
Ooh.
Like, now as an adult, I assume, like, so miserable and empty inside from how they acted, but, like, perfect presentation of the family unit and everything.
Yeah.
And very strict disciplinarians, but like only behind closed doors and shit. So we were with that friend and I was very nervous. This is in fact a friend who I told my mom, which was a huge fight. I wish Alex's mom was my mom and not you.
Ooh. Oh, classics.
Because they're like rich and they have all the toys and they have a pool and everything's perfect there.
Yeah.
And she never gets mad because she won't allow herself to.
Right.
And we're in this like mansion by my standards. And my friend Griffin brought up the first girl I ever had a crush on, whose name was Catherine. So I guess that it wasn't a big crush. It didn't stick with me. I'll bleep the last name in editing.
Catherine.
The important thing is Catherine because, I guess not, because they had a company, her family owned a company called Catherine Coda Industries. And when you called it on the landline, he dared me to call it once and leave like a message of love. When I called it, I got the message, the answering phone of that thing, and I couldn't tell what it said. And I thought it said Carina cheese, like a kind of cheese that I was unaware of. I'm 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so we had a running joke that there was like this thing called Carina cheese that Catherine produced from her body, right? Like,
right.
And
that made me laugh. As a grown woman, that made me laugh. So also in comedy. Okay, so funny. It's funny.
We're in his house in front of Alex and his parents in their mansion with the like cashmere carpet floor.
Yeah.
I don't know if people make cashmere floors.
That can't be true, but yeah.
And he goes, and he nudges me. He goes, hey, Michael, you know her. Why is it making me laugh?
It's funny.
He goes, you know where Carina cheese comes from? And I go, no. And he goes, Uranus. And I flood their nice house with boy urine. The dad literally like grabbed me by the collar, kind of roughly, like my parents would not be pleased, dragged me outside and hosed me down.
Oh my God. Oh,
no. Not in the backyard. They had an amply fenced backyard. He dragged me to the front door, which was closer, hosed me down in the street.
Yeah. Oh my God.
As like people in the neighborhood were like, oh, what's going on over there?
Yeah. Jesus, this is equal parts embarrassing stories and equal parts adults just not rough. Knowing how to react to pee.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I didn't have good, like, P support as a child.
No, but it seems like your friends were cool with it. Like they...
No, it's just this asshole Griffin just liked to make me pee. No, Alex was equally... Yep. He literally, it was actually, that was quite amusing, was Alex seeing a small spot slowly form bigger and going like, oh no, 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 like I forbid it. What are you doing? Like he tried to like,
stop
think
that.
He could yell at me and I would like pinch it off.
Right. Your bladder He's would like, just be like, oh, cannot, I'm sorry, not here.
The no, restroom is the appropriate place. And then to make it worse, he let me wear a pair of his pants because mine were ruined.
Right.
And that was the day I realized, oh, I'm a fat kid.
Oh.
Because of wearing his tight-ass pants.
Yeah.
He's normal size.
Yeah, I feel like we invited him over this house and like you knew what the risk was.
Yeah.
Inviting Michael over.
How dare you pee yourself in this house?
I'm not accusing them. But the way Alex reacted and the way that family was, I'm like, I hope he didn't get like hit later over that. Like, you invite pee pants over to our house?
How it had, dare
like,
you?
It was that like repressed vibe right. there, yeah.
Was that a thing you were ever like known for though? Like, did that stick with you?
This is what's crazy. And I was listening to the episode you recorded with Maggie and I do think it was fascinating for me as a tall white male, especially the oldest sibling, because I only have one younger brother, which is like having a weaker, smaller, less accomplished version of yourself grow up at the same time as you.
That must be nice.
So like by comparison, you feel like a goddamn hero.
Yeah.
And like, no, I was fat. Wet my pants, formed the chess club, and they made me class goddamn president.
Like, untouchable.
Everyone loved me, and my self-esteem was through the goddamn roof. And that's what it is to be a white man in America sometimes.
That's amazing.
If you're lucky. I'm not saying across the board, but for me, I have to recognize my own privilege, which was considerable.
That's amazing, because in high school, I threw up twice from eating fried rice and drinking beer, and my friends have never let it go to this day.
They're like hey.
I had a beer and they're like, oh, don't, like anytime now, still, if I go home and have a beer with friends, they're like, did you eat fried rice today?
Oh my God.
Like something that simple. It happened two
Bridget,
times.
Bridget, the secret is to throw up all the time like I do. So then your friends are just like, oh, that's what she does. Like, she's just going to
I've thrown up in excess of 100 times this year. I throw up constantly.
In 2000? Really?
Yeah.
I keep a log.
I was
saving that for like an embarrassing fact, but I'll tell you now, I got a vom log and I was we went to Vegas and I actually logged 3 vomits in the same day at 3 different locations. Do you want to hear them? At the Monte Carlo, and it was Taco Bell. So what I do is I log the date, where I threw up, and what I was throwing up.
Do you know what your issue is? Do you have a chronic issue?
I have a chronic stomach issue. Bad stomach, like period.
Yep.
Heartburn,
just
acid reflux, probably GERD.
GERD.
And then just like a sensitive gag reflux.
Same.
And
yeah.
I have the confidence to know, like, if I need to throw up, I'm just going to do it.
Overlapping things where you're like, yeah, you have some acid reflux, I have a hiatal hernia. They're like, your stomach's just bad?
Oh, no, that's
bad.
Yeah, that's how I describe it to people. It's just bad. So, I've got.
Thank God that's like an adult problem, though, and like.
True.
Kids
but I did throw up a lot when I was a kid, though, because I get grossed out easily. And like at lunch, when people were like, oh, we're going to put the milk in with the mashed potatoes and whatever, I was like, oh guys, oh, no. I have plenty. I have thrown up at every surface of my elementary
school.
But
it's become mundane, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
There's a period where, or I think most people who only throw once every couple years, it's like,
it's devastating.
Genuinely frighteningly devastating.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's like a bodily function I've totally gotten used to.
And when you're around new people and they want to be like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, girl, sun is up, so I threw up. Like, that's why.
So have you ever thrown up in public embarrassingly? Because like for all the hundreds of times I've thrown up, I'm somehow, my body will wait until I'm in a private area.
I'm actually really good at throwing up in toilets. Emergency situation is trash cans. I guess I've got a couple. The one that truly embarrasses me is we were doing standardized testing. And you know, that's like very like when it's your school's week to do your standardized test, it is lock down lockdown. And like, you only get certain bathroom breaks, and teachers like really don't want to send you to the bathroom because you can
only get handguns on campus. Right, not exactly. Long rifles.
It's like, I'm trying to reload my Glock. I have to wait until yeah. break. Like, okay. So I could feel myself. Well, the preface of this is I was doing so poorly in math. My teacher didn't know what to do with me and suggested, to ease my anxieties about math, putting me in the library in a special room and like doing the math exam by myself instead of doing it in a classroom.
That was always the solution of like, you
but
get
like
a different...
if I did that, I wouldn't have the break for snacks. I wouldn't be with my friends. Like, I was like, no, I don't want it. Like, how is that going to help my anxieties? Right. Like, I've done this before. I'll do it again. Yeah. But then the irony is that I was getting so nervous because he kind of put that in my head that I was anxious. So I had to throw up. And then it was one of the breaks and it passed. And I was like, oh, I'm not nauseous anymore. It's fine. And then during the test, I really was like, I have to go right now. I have to go to the bathroom. This is an emergency. And I didn't want to walk past my math teacher's door. So I took, my middle school is like a kind of like a square. So I took the long way, which is making three lefts to get to the girls' room. And by the time I got to the end of the first thing, I was running and I just started to throw up and I missed the trash can. I was throwing up. By the time I got to the trash can, it was like, done. Like nothing was
so
in the trash can.
So it's just like a trail down
everything.
The hall.
Yeah. And then worse, that was the hall where the office was and like all the administrators and like a whole bunch of people saw me do it. And then I was
girl
like,
projectile vomiting
and so,
running.
Well, I was kind of behind the corner, so I'm sure they heard it, but didn't see it, which is almost worse. And then I just decided like, well, I still have to go to the bathroom. So I just walked down that hall in a walk of shame. Made the corner, went, pretended like I went to the bathroom.
It's a ton of pride.
If only you'd had your adult comedy knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
You could have
caught
him and said, your mother sucks cocks in hell. Like, spin your head around.
No, if I was smart, I would have thrown up at the trash can by my math teacher's room so he would know, like, by the way, I'm
this
fine.
This is real.
Do the thing where you point your eyes and point at him and then throw up.
Yeah, I could probably do that today. Make eye contact with someone
while throwing up. Just, this is your fault.
Because kind of going off the pee business, because I also pee myself a lot. When I was younger, though, I, for some reason, and this is like kid logic, I was really, for way too long, embarrassed to go to the bathroom or to ask permission to go to the bathroom.
I feel like that's female kid logic.
Yes, because I was thinking, I just don't want people to know I have something between my legs that works. Like, and so for some reason, like, even when I was in the stall, I didn't like everyone knowing I was peeing because it makes that sound when water hits water, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, when I was young, like elementary school young, I can't think of ages, there would be times where I would just be so shy and then, like, it would just come to the point where I'd pee myself. But then kid logic, I'd be like, well, I'm a little kid. Of course I'm going to pee myself. Like, I was, like, confident about, like, yeah, guys, I
peed
myself.
You're not confident enough to go to the bathroom, but you're confident enough.
Shy bladder is not specific to kids, though.
I still have shy bladder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when I go to the bathroom and it's empty, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Thank God. Yeah. That's evolutionary, right? That's because when you're peeing, a wolf could kill you. So you're like,
ooh,
alert.
Yeah,
that's always been what I thought. Yeah.
When I
that is why dogs will circle and make eye contact with you usually when they're pooping. Because they circle to be like, any predators around? No, it's safe to poop. I'm watching you.
Yeah.
One of the best days of my life while working at Cracked was when I found there was a private bathroom in the demand building.
I know the one you mean. It's heaven.
When I found that, I was like, my life has changed here.
And wasn't it unusually sparse? Like, people would never take it. You're like, do people not know this is here?
No, but then I would get embarrassed when I walked out and like someone else was there waiting. Because you know what you did in there. Like, you know why you went to that
bathroom.
This is
where I really am glad I, like, don't have a penis or anything like that. Or anything like that. Because, in the men's room, like, if you go in the stall, everyone knows you're shitting. I can't deal with that.
Right.
At least in the women's room, there's a mystery to it. Like, maybe I'm doing something else. But no. In the men's room, it's like, oh, skipping the urinal? Please.
Nowadays, it could be sending unwanted dick pics. There's always
that.
Yeah. True. 50-50
split. You could be doing drugs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I didn't pee in this story.
Poo, poo, pee, pee, throw up story? No?
I've got tons.
I mean, I've done all three, but...
at once.
Yeah, it was so painful. but I remember one time when I was a kid, I must have been like, I think I was like 13 or something. And my entire family had gone somewhere without me. I think something for my brother. I don't know. Everyone was at an event. I wasn't there, like, including my grandparents who lived in the same neighborhood at the time, like the same complex and a very, like, Jewish everybody loves Raymond kind of situation.
I was just gonna say everyone loves Raymond.
But yeah, they live right there, and I was alone, and I was like, I'm gonna take my dog out for a walk. So I took him out, and I had to go, and I was like, this will be real quick. I have to pee, but he'll pee, and then I'll go inside. And I came back, and I had locked myself out of my house. And, like, not even the, like, window that we normally leave unlocked in case we have to break into the house, in case it's, like, that wasn't even open. I don't know what happened. I think my dad just went into, like, dad mode and was like, we need to lock all the doors one day.
Well, you were leaving, like, your daughter at home. I'm sure they shut it down.
Yeah, probably.
Purge style.
And they weren't going to be back for, like, hours. And I just, like, straight up did not know what to do with myself for, like, 2 hours. And just, like, waiting with me and my dog. And my dog did not understand, like, why aren't we going inside? Why are we out here? Yeah. And he was, like, getting antsy and, like, running. And I waited, like, holding on so hard and, like, about to break. And finally my parents walk.
Oh,
like,
my
I
God.
Hear them coming down. And once they get to the door, just immediately, like, projectile tears. Just, like, I need to go. So, like, immediately just burst out crying. Like, open the door, open the door.
You didn't consider going behind a bush
or
something? I know,
Bridget, I was going to say, it would have taken me 30 seconds, and then I would have peed outside.
Yep. I know.
No problem.
I know, but I am so shame-filled. And they also pointed out several solutions that could have happened. Like, one, just do that.
Because I've done that literally twice.
Yeah. Two, I had several friends who lived in the neighborhood.
You just walked to their house and hang out?
Like, yeah. I could have just gone there, but I was an idiot and, like,
that's
too
so
proud
funny.
And I didn't know what to do with my dog. Like,
that's
I was
true.
Like, can I bring the dog to their house? I don't know.
Yeah,
that feels
true,
weird.
True.
And, like, I can't leave him here because he had already, like,
did
ran.
Did he have a leash?
He had a leash, but, like,
friend's house, tie the dog up outside, use the bathroom.
You never tie LeBron James Greenberg up.
Oh, okay.
He's
okay.
Too fancy of a dog.
I will say, to be fair, asking to use the bathroom in someone else's house at a young age is like,
it's scary.
Can you give me $100? Like, it is, at least for me, it was like, oh, God.
Because I think the thought might have crossed my mind, but it was, like, mortifying for me to just, like, I need to go.
Yeah.
Like, open the door, I need to go. I made it, and that's not a story I ever told, so I never think of it as an embarrassing memory because it's just, like, my family. But my family still makes fun of me for that.
Yeah,
like,
you just, yeah.
That, like, immediately they walked up and they didn't know what was happening. They just saw, like, my dog poke his head through, like, the gate. And it was, they were
hey,
just
guys.
Like, why is LeBron outside? And they're just, and then just, like, their daughter just crying and, like, begging them to open the door.
That does lessen the bladder pressure. The tears.
Yeah.
Oh, true. You're peeing from your eyes.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. At that point, it was like a solid hour of me just, like, waiting for them.
Is this a gender thing or just me or a universal human? Help me figure this out.
Okay.
When you have to go to the bathroom and you get home and, like, your body knows that the bathroom is within running distance.
Yes.
You immediately.
Yes.
The pressure escalates like threefold, and you're like, we're seconds away. Why do you have to fucking put the pressure on now?
To the point where I'm walking funny and I'm going like this.
And, like, undoing your belt and
like
shit.
Like, I'm
giving
birth and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm making noises.
I've torn pants and just, like, kicked pets.
Your body just, like, physically knows, like, Wi-Fi. Oh, the toilet's within 10 yards. Just open her up.
Yeah. There's something I do. Like, I do this now as an adult. I'll probably even do it tomorrow where, like, I'll leave work and I'll be like, I kind of have to pee. And it's like, you know what? I'll just wait until I get home. And then, like, that whole ride home, I'm, like, hyper-focused, like, man, I just got to get. Okay, I'm just going to turn on a Wilton. And, oh, I'm going to pee in my nice home alone in my bathroom. And then, it's that moment of, like, I'm fucking up the keys.
Because
I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do it now.
I've done that recently. And, like, my roommate has a cat. And I've just, like, chucked my roommate's cat across the apartment. Like, get out of the way. I don't care about
you. Oh, yeah. My cats greet me like dogs when I come home, which is cute. But I will, like, shove them aside with my foot and be like, not now.
I dearly love them, but, like, get the fuck away from me.
We have, there are, like, three bath, like, most of our bathrooms are upstairs. And so, like, even now, like, when my family were all home, like, we'll go out to lunch and we'll get, like, a bunch of margaritas and stuff. And, like, the three women of my family, my dad like slowly walks in after us. We'll just like, oh, oh, like all the way upstairs. Cause like we can't go in the restaurant for some reason. Like we gotta wait. And it's like three women like bouncing up the stairs, like nervous cats, like, ha, oh, oh, okay, I'll go there. Mom, you take your bathroom. Hannah, you go in dad's bathroom and we're fine. Like, yeah.
Don't hold it. If I could tell my younger self.
That. I know.
Yeah, that's your.
My great grandma died of holding it.
Really?
Yes, really did.
No, that actually happens.
Well, she sort of lost the ability to tell when she had to go, which happens to other people. But her actual cause of death was keeping like urine in her bladder so long that it like ate through it and that killed her.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that don't hold it.
I'm so worried because I do that all
you
the time.
You love to hold it for hours at a time?
Yeah. That's kind of my go-to move.
It's my hobby, really.
I've become so confident.
Seeing how little I can pee during a time.
I've become so confident in my bathroom. I mean, I keep a vomit log. Let's start there. Yeah. But like at work, I will pee once every hour on the hour. Like I'll just get up and go, whatever. And then like I carry around a water bottle with me. So I also am kind of like, oh, I'm peeing again because guess what, everyone? I'm hydrated. So try it and you'll be peeing as much as me.
It's a status symbol now.
Oh, I'm way smug about it. But I will say I've had coworkers now come up to me because I'm like the water hero of the office. Mm-hmm. Like literally people are like, Sarah, I think it's great. You have a water bottle and you drink water all day. I'm like, yeah, sure.
How
and
do
my,
you do it? How
I
do
know
you-
literally two of my coworkers have individually been like, so don't you have to go to the bathroom all the time? I'm like, girl, I just go. It's
how do you manage that work-life water balance?
My work
you're
like
an inspiration.
I know, I just go, take my phone,
You should
relax.
Do a TED Talk.
Oh, I really could about throwing up and pissing, folks.
And just like being chill about it. Yeah, I'd have failed.
You're up on stage with your legs crossed. You're like, in fact, I've been holding it this whole time. And drop the mic.
I wheel out a catheter. I wheel out a catheter like, I'm plugged in. Are you?
My family is a family of weak stomach people, and I somehow missed that. But my brother especially had like gastrointestinal issues where like that was our dinner conversation of like, Josh, how was your bathrooms today?
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so I was just so desensitized to it. But also like it didn't affect me. Like I somehow never got hit by it. So it's just like, please stop talking about this. Like I never want to go.
Foamy floaters, sinkers, past the carrots.
It was so in detail that just like nothing bothers me when it comes to that talk at all. Like nothing could.
You gotta own it. You know, everybody poops.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and I learned that the hard way and like not having to deal with the horrible issues that I've seen my family deal with their stomach. I've just been like, fuck, going to the bathroom. I mean, seems like terrible times.
There's a lot of hard ways to learn that everybody poops.
Yeah.
I can think of many, many unfortunate scenarios.
No, and I'm not even joking. Like, I was, because I started really throwing up in college.
Yeah.
One time I literally ate lunch, walked outside and threw up in a bush. And my friend was horrified. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. But it takes somebody else to say, hey, I throw up all the time. And it's like a support. It's like, oh, thank God. I throw up all the time.
Yeah,
I throw up like I'm paid to throw up. I wish I'd make so much money.
If I had a nickel for every time.
Oh, Mike, I'd at least have
more
$3,200, something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I went through a period of that where like it was just like 6 months of my life where like I was vomiting and it was terrible. This is a very embarrassing story. Mm-hmm. That I've kept to myself. I was seeing a guy at the time, and just every time we would hang out, I would throw up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was like a new relationship, and it ended very quickly because, like, every time we hung out, I just threw up.
Any splashback?
Like,
ever get him?
No. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Like, I kept it secret. I feel like the first two times he didn't know, and then it became obvious. Like, I started caring less about, like, hiding it.
Yeah.
And then it was just like,
you got sloppy.
I got sloppy. And it's the one that got away because I kept throwing up and it was just like 6 months of my life. And I was like, that was terrible. Never want to do that again.
Totally.
So I feel the pain, but I also feel like, yeah, it gets real casual at some point. You're just like,
oh, Bridget, I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I think I'm going to throw up. And then I went to the bathroom and I threw up. Like I was like, I think I'm just going to get one out before we go to the club.
Fire one off.
Blech, done.
Yeah. The first time I ever took MDMA was with my girlfriend who had done it. Had done it before and I hadn't, and it made her throw up, but not me. And she'd done it before.
Yeah.
So she was doing that thing where you're like on a drug, but you know how it goes. You're holding it together and you're throwing up. I was experiencing it for the very first time. So she's like, I'm sorry, this sucks. And I'm like, your throw up is so beautiful. This is like, the way that I can serve you and show you my love for you by being here and holding your hair back. It's beautiful how a challenge can give rise to a moment of vulnerable connection. And she's like, can you please just not talk till I'm done throwing up? That's very nice.
But. Right, and that's coming from someone who's like very casual about throwing up to someone who's like not, and they're just like, it's fine, but I need you to stop.
Yeah, because she hadn't thrown up in like 3 years.
She's being like, so cool
when people tell me that. Because sometimes we're like, oh, I throw up all the time. And they'll be like, I can't even remember the last time I threw up. I'm like, bitch, I keep a catalog. When do you want to know?
I have friends who are literally like going on 11 years. And you're like, fuck, that's you.
Crazy. Yeah. Oh my God, go to a Taco Bell. Like, get food poisoning. Jesus, you got to throw up. Damn. Ugh. 2018.
Never,
stop shaming yourself. For
never wish
up.
Food poisoning on another person.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't think I've ever had it actually, and it sounds pretty gnarly.
It is like I remember it's I like had death, food. Yeah. It is death. It is you do want to die at some point of just like.
Have you ever shit and thrown up at the same time?
Yes, because from that's straight up winter stomach flu, but not food poisoning.
Okay, yeah, food poisoning is, I don't know how I shit on my bathroom carpet, but I guess I did on the walk over here, because you don't wear pants when you have food poisoning, because it's just, what's the point? You just get lazy after a while.
I remember
it was every time I would cough, a little poo would come out.
Yeah, you just gotta take a blanket to the bathroom and just like sleep in the in the tub, and you're like, listen, I'm just gonna be on all ends. So just
No. You sit on the toilet, throw up into the tub. That's what I did.
Oh, I throw up into the trash can.
Yeah.
Sitting on the
That's
toilet.
That's how I did it. Okay. Yeah. That's how I did
you
it.
You sit on your boss's Mercedes, you throw up into Donald Trump's face.
Yeah. Oh, what a dream. No, I remember throwing up an ice cube and being like, this is it, this is the end for me. Like
have you ever thrown up noodles?
Oh, that's weird. Yeah,
that's bad. It's like a magician taking scarves out of their mouth.
That is rough. The other day, I threw up rice, and I knew I was going to throw up all day, but I had eaten a lot of rice, and I had a lot of water, because as you know, I'm sure it eases the vomit experience.
Yeah.
But what I didn't, like, this hasn't happened, because usually I eat rice with stuff in it, but that day for lunch, I just had like a big bowl of brown rice.
Totally.
And it completely absorbed all the water, so I threw up the equivalent of like a giant gummy worm, and I thought I was going to suffocate to death, like choke to death on my vomit, because like, it was like a snake slowly coming out.
Because you basically recooked rice
I
in your stomach.
I created gelatin.
Like
and
you just second cooked rice. Have you ever been?
I
throwing...
had a spoonful of Jello powder just to help.
Yeah,
it down.
Just a little. Yeah. There was a period where I would start coughing when I was throwing up, and as a result, vomit has come out of my nose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, I.
Bridget, for a second, I thought you were like episode. Flabbergasted by the fact that I've thrown up out of my nose.
No, that's. Normal. I just, every time I've thrown up in recent years, this is a gross episode.
Yep.
But I've been like hovering over the toilet and then realizing how gross that is and throwing up more.
Sometimes you close my eyes.
I've switched to the sink. I stand at the sink.
Whoa.
Much more pleasant.
Yeah, because I'm like, my head's in a toilet and there's vomit in this toilet. And, like, it just immediately.
No, I have to close my eyes or like, I'll like come up for air for a little bit just so I'm not breathing like same like vomit air.
Yeah.
Now, when you throw up in the sink, do you ever do the like garbage disposal just to make sure it
you
all goes
to.
Down
you
yeah
have
I've done
to.
That
every
yeah.
couple
that's
pushes
insane.
So I've it's become so routine here's the other thing is I would not throw up in the sink if I were an amateur because our dishes go there and I eat from there. I can throw up a precise column
right
of food
into it.
Directly
into
the garbage disposal and turn it on and off and pour soap down the drain and we're good to go. And I've just also found it happens faster and it's over quicker and it's less unpleasant if I'm standing versus like being bent.
My friend on Twitter actually said like, do you guys like get on your knees when you throw up or do you throw
I've
standing up?
I've always wondered if everyone...
And I was like, you amateur hour punks. Yeah. I can throw up laying down. I could throw up on my knees standing up.
You've thrown up laying down?
I have
over
thrown
your
up
shoulder between
over,
the legs.
Oh my like, God. I can
double dribbling you throw up.
I was going to say like a dunk competition, but like throw up like try me. I can projectile vomit. I can get it exactly where I need to go. Please, cowards.
I think I've talked about this in stand-up at some point, but there was in my heyday of vomiting, I remember being on a subway in Philadelphia, and this was in college, and I was very drunk, and I knew I had to throw up, and in between stops of the subway, I got up, and I was very drunk, but in my memory, I'm positive it's how it happened. The subway doors open, I threw up directly in between the platform and the
subway. I believe you did.
The little yeah. crack and my, just got yeah. it all through down.
The vomit gap? Yeah.
Yeah, and then just like sat back down like nothing happened. And I just, everyone on the train is just staring at me and I'm like, what are you going to do about it?
You fed a small family of rats for a month.
Yeah.
I threw up.
It didn't bother any of you, yeah. so pat me on the back.
I don't have any God. Subway vomit stories, but parked basically on the 101 in traffic, I have rolled down my window and just gave a little bleh.
Oh, wow.
Just a little yelp out of my own window, and I was driving someone else in the car.
So that's my one superpower for someone who constantly has to throw up is my embarrassment does prevent me from...
Yeah.
Like, my stomach will not... I can be at full nausea, like, going... Yeah. In my throat, but like if I'm at an event,
yeah, I'm disciplined.
My stomach will like force it down. Yeah,
yeah. I put a little damp cloth on the back of my neck, real discreet, where if my hair's down, you really can't tell. And then I just like, yeah, I'm like a highly trained CIA operative, but not for like I can kill people like 100 ways. Like I can throw up under any circumstances. Try me.
Well, I have a basketball hoop in the driveway. Maybe after this.
If I can get on a trampoline and if I can eat like a milkshake, give me 5 minutes. I'll shake that shit
load up.
Load up
some pictures of toilets on your phone. You're good to go.
Oh yeah.
Just get a good whiff of toilet water, and you're good. This has been a.
Ooh. I'm sorry. Can I drop a real short one?
No. Yeah. Go for it.
I did have a bully when I was a little kid, meaning a neighbor kid who came over and did a bunch of stuff that's not even bullying, like abusive. So we shouldn't like unpack it too much, maybe
sure.
for another day.
Surface level, that's okay.
But one of the things he did on the low end of the spectrum that I would just call bullying that was very embarrassing is I was just like 4 years younger than him and he fucking convinced me the toilet water tasted like ice cream.
Oh.
And my mental like capacity, imagination as like a 6-year-old kid was enough that I was like, it is kind of sweet. Not, I mean, like clean toilet water.
Sure. Yeah.
But I would, and my parents found out, they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, sometimes I'll dip a little toilet water. James told me that's where they make ice cream from. And they're like, we need to talk to James's parents immediately.
The things you believe as a kid is
incredible.
Because, like, I didn't quite break my leg, but I nearly did just because someone had convinced me I could fly if I tried really hard.
Yep.
And I just. I believe stuff and I launch myself off an air hockey table and just crash to the ground.
This kid left our lives was he peed all over my brother.
Oh, full circle.
Which is I was like, I have to mention that part because of the pee connection, which is obviously not funny, not bullying, traumatic and abusive. And we were in my giant backyard and he like took us back to the corner. It was like, watch this. This will be funny. And peed all over my brother. And I started backing away towards the house.
Yeah,
he's like, where are you going? You're not going to tell him me, right? And I was like, no, I'm getting a snack. Mom, James peed on my brother. Like, just ran and told him immediately. Yeah.
Maybe your brother just made him laugh really hard.
Right, with his pants off facing him, which has its own problems.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I feel like that's a testament to like how gentle you are, because I feel like most older brothers would then like beat the shit out of that kid.
Well, he was much bigger and older than me.
Oh, okay, then you can't.
In retrospect, and I hate to end on this sad note, but like the obvious is that I'm sure there was some fucked up shit going on life.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, so it's better that you didn't do that. Yeah. I just thought that's how that story was going to end.
Right.
And then you did the good thing.
Well, no, I pooped on him. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There it goes.
He threw up on me and now we're all friends.
You're right. That is the right move.
The triple crown. The bodily fluids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really hope this episode gets your show off on the right foot.
Oh, I think it will. I think people will know exactly what we're about here.
I mean, this is genuinely what I am about. Like, vomiting is my brand at this point. Like, that's just who I am.
I'm glad the vomit log came out.
Oh, the vom log.
Yeah. Well, Michael Swaim, thank you for sharing these stories with us.
My pleasure.
We appreciated them. I hope you guys appreciated them.
And if you've been eating while listening to this, God bless you. Wow, that's really amazing.
Watching some surgery videos, having a good time.
Right, Fear Factor.
Yeah. I mean, this is your network, but do you still want to tell people where they can find you?
If they found this,
you should know where to find Michael.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because my voice is running out.
Yeah, he's out of it. He's out of the voice. It's all gone. You can find us at Rough Stuff Pod.
Yes, Rough Stuff Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The Triple Crown of social med, and that is Rough Stuff Pod.
You realize you just define Triple Crown as poopy and vomit together.
I say a lot of things are the Triple Crown. So
even things that are twos. It's
Yeah, just the one thing. I saw Star Wars and I was like, oh, the Triple Crown. A film.
Of films. Yeah.
I just love the Kentucky Derby and those races, you know?
Well, you can find me personally at Bridget Tweets on Twitter. And
yeah, I'm at SK underscore Griffith, like the park, because I was an idiot when I signed up for Twitter and didn't just immediately grab my name.
Yeah.
Like a fool.
Well, that's your mistake now. Well, this has been a gross pod, but so much fun. So much fun to talk about. See you guys next time.
Bye.
This has been a Small Beans Endeavor. We're a bunch of pals who make podcasts, sketches, music, web series, and movies. The beans always have new ideas percolating, so make sure to check us out at patreon.com/smallbeans. That's patreon.com/smallbeans, where you can browse all of our current and past content, see what we've got planned in the future, and learn how your support can help the small beans grow into huge, giant monster beans. If you enjoyed this content module, please like, rate, subscribe, or tell a friend about us. We love you!